Maybe the economy is, in fact, improving, but the unemployment rate seems to crawl down slug-like in no big hurry to get lower. And there are stories within the numbers that might help explain those trends, like the finding that employers in Oregon reported nearly half of the job openings they posted last year difficult to fill. Considering the numbers of people still looking for work, that seems a bit surprising. Let's talk about the dynamics at work. Jessica Nelson is an economist with the Oregon Employment Department. Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Jeff, thank you for having me.
So what is the basic issue here?
So in this survey, the Oregon Job Vacancy Survey, businesses last year in 2013 told us that about 48% of their job vacancies were difficult for them to fill. So there are a lot of reasons that employers let us know that this happens, but it's definitely something that we're interested in because we're always interested in how we can kind of make the labor market work better.
Just for historical perspective, is that an unusually high figure, or has it gotten in that zone before?
That is a really great question that I unfortunately do not have an answer for. The question about difficulty filling positions was added to the survey in 2012, so we only have 1 year prior to this to compare with, and that year it was 44% of the vacancies that were difficult to fill.
All right, so it's been similar. Sorry, since it started then, it's been in pretty much a similar vein, but we don't have figures from before. Because, again, you're asking, some of this is based on the impressions of the potential employers, correct?
Oh, certainly. These are employer responses. So as they tell us about a job vacancy that they have, they tell us about a lot of characteristics, including the wage that they're offering, the education level and experience level that's required. And now, since 2012, they've also answered the question, is the position difficult to fill? And if so, please briefly give us the most important reason why. So we've been gathering that data and then categorizing it. And what we've found is that a lack of qualified candidates is the largest reason, and a lack of applicants takes up another just about quarter of the responses.
I noticed that. I have the sheet in front of me that lack of qualified candidates, 24%, lack of applicants, 23%. I guess I can understand the qualified candidates issue where they just don't quite have the experience the employer is looking for. But I don't know, lack of applicants seems a little surprising given the desire for jobs that's clearly still existing all around Oregon.
Definitely. But probably the desire for certain jobs is different than the desire for other jobs. Yeah, we do see that there are few applicants or just in general a lack of applicants for many openings in Oregon.
And so is there a number is there a number attached to this, like the number of jobs that go open for long periods and what we consider a long period?
Yes, there are figures on that. I don't have them like right at hand. But we do collect the length of time that that positions are open.
All right, so let's break this down a little further then about the kinds of fields we're talking about here, because that might make a big difference. I mean, frankly, if somebody's got experience mowing lawns and somebody's looking for a job as a computer data processor or something, which probably is an archaic job term in itself, the match of skills and qualifications is going to be a bit different there.
Yeah, certainly you have matching skills and education and experience to jobs, and then you also have the location of jobs to consider. So for both of those reasons, you can kind of have difficulty getting workers matched up with the jobs that are available.
So, Jessica Nelson, what are the jobs that are having difficulty getting filled?
Okay, so the top difficult-to-fill occupations in 2013 were heavy and tractor-trailer truck drivers, farm workers and laborers, personal care and home health aides. These are folks who are working especially with elderly people and helping them to stay in their homes for longer. So it's kind of a trend that we're seeing in the workforce, needing lots of these people. Customer service representatives, registered nurses, massage therapists. So it's kind of a range of different things that were right at the top of the list. But we actually found difficult to fill vacancies in a couple of hundred different occupations.
All right, so it wasn't limited to any one particular field. Does it speak then to the possibility that this really is more of a geographical thing, that the jobs that people are seeking to fill are just not where the particular large groups of workers are?
That is quite possible. So in the most heavily populated area of the state, in Portland, the share was slightly lower. Regionally, it really seemed like there wasn't too much difference between the regions, but the lowest share was in Portland, and that is at 40%. So it seems like in Portland, the employers are having less difficulty filling their jobs, and that might be because we have pretty solid in-migration regularly to the state, but a lot of that in-migration is into the Portland metro area.
Makes sense. Now, when I look at this list, though, truck drivers, farm workers, home health aides, or personal care and home health aides, customer service, registered nurses, massage therapists, truck drivers, registered nurses, massage therapists obviously all have a fair amount of training and experience behind them. But farm workers, personal care and home health aides, customer service, these are not necessarily jobs that require a great deal of education or training, I would think.
That is definitely true. That's true. But they do need workers who are qualified for the position and willing to work for the wage being offered.
Ah, okay. So it's a mismatch of a bunch of things, too. It's kind of like trying to find the sweet spot. Is it possible, then, that some of this is potential workers having the ability to get just a little more picky as time goes on?
Well, certainly in 2013, the labor market has improved a lot from the job seeker perspective compared to a couple of years ago. So whereas a couple of years ago, it seemed like employers kind of felt like they had their pick of workers. They had lots of applicants for jobs, and they could take their pick. Now it kind of feels a little bit more like job seekers have more jobs to choose from, and employers don't have as many workers to choose from.
So in comparisons between the 2013 and 2012 studies, is there a smaller number of people applying for each vacancy, or did that hang about the same, or is that actually larger?
You know what? That is not actually collected by the survey. I don't have a precise number of applicants for each vacancy, but that's a great question. That would definitely be interesting to look at.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know about the trend there. We're talking to Jessica Nelson, an economist with the Oregon Employment Department, about jobs going unfilled in Oregon. 48% of the jobs were reported as difficult to fill by Oregon employers in a survey for the year 2013. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about some of the sub-issues that get involved here. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Can we still make some assumptions here, though, Jessica, that for any job opening that above a certain wage level, and I don't know what that cutoff would be, you're going to have a whole bunch of people applying for a job?
Yeah. So I'm not certain if you can bring the wage into it quite that way. So, for instance, sometimes in healthcare, highly trained healthcare fields, we'll see jobs that don't have applicants, and that's probably because of the location of the job. So it's not necessarily the wage that's being offered, but it's, you know, something about needing to draw the right type of candidate, and it's just not working.
All right, so like I live in Roseburg, but the job is in Prineville, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, when you have jobs that have really high requirements, you kind of cut out a lot of the field, and that's obviously necessary in a field like physical therapy or something. You need your physical therapist to have their complete education and everything. But in some cases, by attaching too many requirements for a job, employers are probably reducing the number of applicants that they see because people assume that they won't be hired because they don't meet every single qualification that's listed.
All right, which raises the question then, I mean, whether there's a willingness among employers, and obviously it's probably not reflected in the results of this survey, to train people to at least bring them up to the level of skills they're looking for. The whole train the right person thing we used to see in newspaper ads, but of course most jobs don't advertise in the newspapers anymore, do they?
No, they don't. But you bring up a really interesting point, and I think it's something that we should spend a little bit of time on. Prior to the Great Recession, one of the major topics that we were talking about in terms of the workforce was the need for employers to focus on succession planning as the baby boomers age. The baby boomers are a very large population, and they're heading toward retirement. And we, back then, before the Great Recession, had a lot of conversations about, will Oregon have enough workers to replace those baby boomers as they leave? And now I think we're back to that sort of situation where we once again have a tight labor market, and employers need to be considering, before these key workers leave for retirement, how they're going to keep that knowledge and that skill. And training their current workers into higher-level positions is a great way to do that.
So to boot some of the baby boomers upstairs, perhaps? Convert them into managers? I mean, is that what you meant by training people for higher-level positions?
Yeah, so if you have a worker that has potential already, training them and so that you can retain that knowledge before the baby boomer who is likely critical. They've been in the workforce for a long time. Before that critical skill leaves the building, you need to figure out a way to retain that knowledge. You know, lots of jobs in Oregon are they're pretty specific. They're in a certain industry and in a certain niche. They have, you know, a certain market that they're covering. And all of that stuff takes very specific knowledge. So it seems to me that training current workers that are already in the field, training them up into higher level positions would be a good bet.
How much does changes in technology, do changes in technology figure into this, though? Because, I mean, like the kinds of skills that I learned as a broadcaster 30 years ago, yeah, I have a great institutional knowledge, but people don't generally tend to edit audio tape with razor blades anymore, that sort of thing.
That is really true. And I hear some really funny stories around the office, too, about the way things used to be done.
Oh, probably. But
I guess what I'm saying is that you kind of can't have it all in a worker who's completely new to the field. You can't have the precise education and experience and that industry-level knowledge. You know, at some point, employers do need to take, you know, what is mostly the right package and train it into what they need. So I think that we do need to see more of that from employers.
So people aren't going to walk in the door perfect, but you can make them perfect if they're
65% of the way there. I think employers felt like they were having workers walk in perfect because they had so many workers to choose from.
Interesting. So now they feel like there's fewer of them out there, and they're not even. So there's an interesting mismatch here, not just on skills and jobs, but in perhaps what employers are looking for. So they're not necessarily going to hire somebody who's just short of what they need and be willing to train that person. It sounds like, but by the same token, I'm just trying to figure out if they're being overly choosy. I mean, I've heard about the skills gap. We've all heard about that what employers have to offer in the way of jobs does not match the skills that the people who are applying for the jobs have.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the issue that if you're making a pretty good profit margin, you would dent that just a little bit by hiring somebody.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that probably, you know, part of what we're talking about and what underlies this is the relationship between employers and education and workforce training and, you know, just whose job is it to make sure that the right candidate is always available for a job. And, you know, I think that when we see certain macro level trends, like we don't have enough people learning about coding, you know, there might be some action to be had there with the entire system about training more workers. But for these employers that are looking for a very specific niche, you know, they might need to try to be less choosy in one of the aspects, or to try to increase their competitiveness by offering some extra benefits or a higher wage. Or so I think that there are ways to kind of address it on both sides, and I think that is happening. You know, we are just measuring this question for the first couple of years, and it's going to be really interesting as the economy gets stronger to see what employers tell us.
And so you mentioned coding a moment ago. I'm just curious about how fast the churn is in Oregon employment over, I don't know, let's say the last 10 to 15 years. I don't know how much other material you have to draw from here, but whether skills that people will learn, like computer coding, are things that will end up obsolete faster because of the fact that today's economy seems to, the whole creative destruction process seems to move a lot faster.
That's a really in-depth question. That's a really great question. So what I do know is that we are more likely in something like the Oregon Job Vacancy Survey, we're more likely to pick up a type of occupation that does have a lot of churn. So I'm sure you noticed that this list of top difficult-to-fill occupations is heavily weighted toward more low-wage work. And part of what we're seeing there is that when we ask an employer what vacancies they have today, if they employ food services occupations or home and personal care aides, we're more likely to see vacancies from them because those jobs turn over fast. They're lower wage and workers get into the job and move on more quickly. So the employer has the vacancy more frequently.
All right. I noticed that, again, I'll come back to the fact that farm workers and laborers are in here, crop nursery and greenhouse people, all listed in the same line. Not highly skilled jobs, particularly farm worker stuff where you're picking certain things. Obviously, you have to know what you're doing in the field and in the packing houses, all that sort of thing. But not a job that takes a great deal of time to train. But that in particular, I think, is one of the lower wage jobs you're talking about.
It is one of the lower wage jobs that I'm talking about. And it's also one that we hear anecdotally repeatedly from these employers that they have trouble finding workers willing to do that work.
All right. And you just mentioned that there's this ongoing discussion in society about whose job it is to train people. So are the employers of Oregon asking for legislative help in getting new programs into community colleges or anything along those lines to try to fill this skills gap?
Well, so I don't know if I would put it as employers are asking, but the reason that we do collect this information is so that we can feed the information to community colleges and to the workforce investment boards in local areas, so that they can have an understanding of what employers are having difficulty with, and they can work toward improving the labor market.
All right. So what's the major takeaway then that people should get from the Oregon Job Vacancy Survey?
Well, there are growing numbers of vacancies in this state, and employers are having trouble filling more of them. So it seems as though the labor market has improved in the last couple of years.
All right. Hope to talk to you about this again next year and see what some of these trends are. Jessica Nelson, an economist at the Oregon Employment Department, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
You bet. Good to have you.